recap for people who are first time here and also for people who've been here, because it's always good to refresh the memory, especially when we talk about a subject like Talmud Eser HaSfirot, Rav Ashlag, Rav Weinberg, Rav Ashlag and Rabbi Isaac Luria. Just to let you know, to make you understand how important the study is, on the top, the big letter, the bold letter is Rabbi Isaac Luria. The bottom is Rav Ashlag. Why is it so important to tell you that? It's because the big letters of Rabbi Isaac Luria are coming from different books. Rav Ashlag had the ability to know which book he needed to touch. He went to a page, skipped 20 pages, take another part, and put it all together. And that work all together make people understand Kabbalah. Before Rav Ashlag, people truly didn't get it all right. So it's very important. So, recap, 6 minutes of recap from the last 2 weeks. So first thing is to remember that the spirituality, and in this specific study, nothing that we talk about has to do with physicality. So if we say place, or if we say time, or if we say different thing, we don't really refer to a physical place. We are using those words as a language to make us understand something spiritual. We call that type of language and behavior, we call it Sfata Anafim, the language of the branch. Okay, meaning, why do we call it the language of the branch? Because whatever we say is only branches of where the roots is coming from. So we, as Kabbalists, as leaders, as people who want to make different in the world, always need to understand what the meaning of the words. For that, we call language. So study Kabbalah has two levels. Study the language, it's called Sfata Anafim, the language of the branches. And the other part is to understand. So there is memory and understand. The memory is for the language, and the understand is for the understanding of concept, so your brain can develop itself every week better and better and better. Now don't try to capture too much everything. Like it's written, tafasta merube lo tafasta. If you're catching too much, you didn't catch a thing. Okay? Catch whatever relate to you at that moment. Because this study is flow. I study with my master, you waking up 4:30 in the morning till 7. And basically, most of the things that I study, I don't remember then. And with the years, it started coming to me, start being clear to me. And I remember that day that my teacher asked me to start teaching this specific thing, I was nervous. Because I wasn't trusting myself. But the idea is, within this study, you are not only understanding things or learning a new language, there is more than that. What happened to you, you changing spiritually. There is a power in this study to change you. Second thing that Rav Ashlag write about this study, it's cleaning whatever there is negative within you. Okay, so it's very, very important. So first thing we study, it's not like a spirituality. If I move my glasses from A to B, normally my glasses are only in B. They're no longer in A. In spirituality, if I move it from A to B, it's still in A and it's also in B. So that gives you the concept of spirituality, which is a difficult concept because the human brain cannot grasp it. It's very, very difficult for the brain. Now it's related to your life as well. Are you 20 or are you 40? Well, you are 20 and 40. You exist in all time of your life. You never change. Things never disappear. Things never disappear. Nobody ever been gone. Now, what about people who died? They never been gone. When you put the person in the grave, if you bury them, they cover themselves from you. You don't cover them from you. So they have a masach, they have a curtain. You cannot see them, but nobody ever gets disappeared if you understand there is no time, if you understand there is no space, if you understand there is no tumura, which means there is no change. So that's the first thing we study. Second thing we study is time. And we explain that time in ruchaniut, in spirituality, mean how many things were in motions. Because the only way we can experience time is there is motions, even in physicality. If you look at your watch, right, there is movement. The movement is motion. Motion means time. If there is no motion at all, you wouldn't understand time. When you drive, certain amount of time from point A to point B, even in physicality, not just in spirituality. So in spirituality, there is also no motion because there is no space, there is no motions, and there is no time. So how can you measure time? So time, my glasses are here. Now my glasses are here. There is no space, they never moved. So they're in both places. That's difficult for the brain. Okay, that's why in spirituality there is no speed of light. The light is everywhere all the time. If I turn off the light right now here, it'll be dark. Is it really dark? No, there is light all the time. So why I cannot see the light? Because I need a system to reveal the light. What is the system that revealed the light? The light bulb was invented by Thomas Edison, the original one, or another guy. And also, but the main idea is it's a tool to reveal the light. Look into your life and understand what is it about you that can reveal the goodness that you have in your life already. You cannot add to your life. You can discover what you already have. Most people try to add things, so they're feeling like they're lacking something. Okay, but you don't lacking anything. You have already there. Just find the tool to reveal them. Everybody have everything, but not everyone have the tool to reveal everything. What we're doing with doing good things to people, many people think doing good things to people is a very nice action. No, it's a tool to reveal what you already have. So what happens, somebody is doing bad, we judge him and hate him, and somebody do good, we say we love him and we say it's great. It's the normal mannerist behavior, which we all agree with it. But we need to understand that without doing good things to one another, we cannot reveal what we already have. So time in spirituality means how many time of, we call it changing of form, shinui tzura. How many times shinui tzura? Every time the glass was here and moved to here, it's called shinui tzura, changing of form. So if you have 20 of those, we call it in spirituality time. So there is no minutes. There is how many changing of form. Is changing of form clear? Yes? Not so much? It'll be clear later. Hopefully. So that's called changing of form. Now, we also study that there is something called Atzmuto, Shel HaBorei Yitbarach. We have the Bore, Creator. Below that, please remember the structure. We have Atzmuto. We'll have eventually to give some paper to people with this lecture. It's difficult. We have Atzmuto. We have Creator, Essence, Endless, and the light coming from the Endless, and then all the name of God that you're familiar with. So the name of God that you're familiar with come much after. So it's a structure that you need to study. Somebody asked me, why do we need this separation? Why do we need this? Why is it not all one? And we explain, because from the everything in the Creator is one, but as it comes in step by step, it's coming down step by step into our physical universe, it's basically grow or emerge or transform into something else. It's almost like you're putting a seed and you have a tree. So within the seed is very little, but it grow into something else. So when it grows to something else, when things start to separate, they are away from the Creator. When things start to come back to the Creator, they become one. So what is unique about the Creator? It's all one. What is different about us as we are? We separate. Right? Men, women, different color of skin, different language, different thing, different. Dog, vegetables, this. All of those things, you mix them all one, that's Creator. That's one. But the brain of a human being cannot relate to one. Right? We all say, oh, spirituality is all about being one. But if you all being one, we lose our identity. People say, I have ego, like Tuesday I spoke in, when I teach from the Zohar, from Rashi, from the Torah, I explain, there's no such a thing as getting rid of your ego. You can never get rid of your ego. It's what keeps you alive. The uniqueness of a human being comes because the seed of who we are comes from the Creator. We cannot get rid of it. There is no way you can get rid of it. But you can work on it step by step and change, all right? Very, very important. So, and last time we also studied about that the light fulfill something, and they ask, what did it fulfill if there was nothing there? And we explained that everything was already exist in the endless. It's almost like embarrassment, because if we believe everything is already exist within the endless, what exactly are we doing here? Okay, what exactly we're doing here? And the idea is, it's almost like we're repeating something, but they're giving us the feeling like of a free will. But the truth of the matter is, the free will is Rav Ashlag mentioned, it is rak leshem achizuk. It's only to make us feel better about ourselves. But there is free will from the Creator point of view, not exist. From our point of view, exists. Almost like living in a bubble of soap, that you're dancing and you create party in the bubble of soap, but outside of the bubble of soap, there is nothing going on. It's the same. For that bubble, there is so much existing within the bubble. That's your life. That's actually your life. I think they did a movie, cartoon on that with the elephant. I don't remember the movie that the elephant as the flower. I wish I remember that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Wharton Hears a Who?
It's a cartoon. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? He has some pink flower. What was that? I forgot that. Exactly. So there is all world going on, but it's actually nothing going on. You know, and I love that concept. So anyway, so that's what we did last time. And we're going to continue. Another thing is to remember, we good there? You're good? We're going to continue with understanding. I'm going to read the Hebrew and I'm going to translate it, then I'm going to explain. The reason it's very important that we study it again is think about area in your life, spiritual area in your life where you need cleansing, where you need to remove it. It's considered 1 year of cleansing for every hour. Every hour of study of this material, clean 1 year. Okay, as my teacher told me that, as his teacher told him that, as teacher told him that. So all the way down, they told that when you study that, think about spiritual cleansing that you need. What is the area in your life that's stuck a little bit? Always when you study. The study has a lot of need. It's good for your soul, it's good for your spiritual growth, and it's also fun once you understand it. So he's saying that the upper light was fulfilling everything. שלא ימיח מקום לתחתונים להתגדר בו להוסיף משהו לשלמותו. Everything was fulfilled, everything was perfect, and it was nothing that you can add after that. Everything was perfect. אלא רק בסיבת הצמצום שנעשה. So we need to explain צמצום. צמצום means contraction. צמצם, like you have in the camera, the shutter, okay? That's called צמצם. So how much light will touch the film? That's called צמצם. So in a way, if you ask a photographer, if there is any photographer, I'm not a good photographer. I try, I buy a camera, I thought I'm an artist, never work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're buying the camera, you do everything in the profession. So the bottom line, I went to lectures, days and that, to lesson. Basically, they tried to teach me when to open, when to close, how fast, how thousand rules. And it's all about how much light exposed into the film. I don't know if you heard that term before, but that's really what a picture is. It's basically you have light touching the film and the speed of how fast the shutter closed. So the tzimtzum means that the light itself, if you want to look at the sun, you can. It's too much light. What do you need to do? Either you need to put your hand, remember when you were a kid, you put your hand and you see the light of the sun coming through your finger. Or you use that a dark glass. You know, the green or dark, so you can see through that and see the sun, if you remember what I'm saying, when you were a kid. Meaning we need to use different filter to see what's really going on. So because the light is so bright, spiritually, not physical light, we have to create something called tzimtzum, contraction. The contraction tzimtzum. So it will be possible for something else to be exist. If there is only light, then nothing will be exist. If there is only light, what is a table? A table is some form of contracting of light. It's less light, and now you have room for table. But it will be only light. What will be here? Nothing. It will be light. Everything and nothing. I want to make sure it's clear, because that's where people get confused. And then when we talk tzimtzum, I need you always to imagine that. The existence of the tissue box, the cup of tea, the watch, the book, me, everything is a different form of tzimtzumim. Different form of contraction. Is that clear? Meaning that whatever you're looking at, a form of a picture, a form of a watch, a form of something, this is what you're looking at is how much light was contracted to reveal whatever it is. So when something is revealed itself, that means the light is no longer there. It's confusing. When something is revealed itself, is there is no longer light within that place. Why is it confusing? Because we think, turn on the light, you see everything. No. In spirituality, specifically in Kabbalah, and specifically in this study, if you turn on all the light, you see nothing. So the reason I see a book, because there is tzimtzum in the level of book, in the level of tea, in the level of watch. So if us, each one of us have different tzimtzumim. So it's saying, אלא רק בסיבת הצמצום שנעשה, נתחדש עוד בחינת חיסרון. What is tzimtzum exactly? Tzimtzum means we are creating chisaron. We are creating lack. Chisaron means lack. How many of you come from a winter country? You ever grew up Detroit, Russia? Where did you grow up?
Iran.
There's snow in Iran?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know there's snow in Iran. Good to know.
Yeah.
Not going there now.
Four seasons.
Okay, so snow. I live in New York for 12 years, so when there is a lot of snow, can't find your car. You know what I'm saying? You park your car, can't find your car. Now, whatever you drive, you're going to say this, Ford, all car look the same. Why is all car look the same? Because it's all covered with snow. So when everything fulfilled, think about it, it's deep. When everything is fulfilled, there is no difference between people. The only time you see the differences between people is when things start to go empty. We can only be different when we don't have something. But we cannot be different if we have everything. Please remember that. It's a very important lesson. You might remember, you might agree with me, don't agree with me, at least think about it, because it can change your life. Fulfilled people, people who are all fulfilled, are all the same. They can look different, but they're all the same. Happy people is happy people. Happy smile is happy smile. When somebody is going to chisaron, to a lack, then we can see differences between people. You cannot see differences between people if they're all fulfilled. Some people are miserable. Doesn't matter what you're going to do. What is a miserable person? I don't have. I don't have, I don't have, I don't have. Another person, busy with one thing they have. It doesn't mean this one is good and this one is bad. Because the one who's happy with what they have is not necessarily good. Maybe his desire is too small. And the one who's not happy with what they have, the desire is big. They can make a difference. Never judge somebody who complains. And never like somebody who say, I'm perfect life. No, I always get excited with people with selfish desire to a degree of 100%. Why? Because those people, if they make this transformation and change, they are the people who are going to make the difference in the world. I'm sorry to insult some of you, but good people will not make a difference in the world. You make it clear on the video. Good people will never be the one who make a difference in the world. Remember that. Please remember. If you meet good people, forget about those people changing the world. They just come and go like nothing happened. Nothing happened, like a tree. Nothing. They will give you shadow and fruit and leaves that fall in the wind in the fall, and that's God. Nothing happened. But if you take a person who is wicked, selfish, and they capable of changing it, those are the people you look up to. Because those are the people with the biggest chisaron, with the biggest lack, they always feel what they don't have. You look at the kids. How do you know the kids is healthy? They complain all day long that they don't have something. I see some parents get upset. The kids, shame on them. They want a new phone. They want a new car. Beautiful. You want more? Great. I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of my daughter. I'm proud of my children. They have a great desire. It doesn't mean I'm giving it to them. I used to do an exercise with my kids when I go to the toy store with them in Toys R Us. We're walking in. And they always come and they say, I want this. I said, we're going to do exercise. You can have whatever you want. So my wife looked at me and says, yeah, what do you mean whatever you want? It's a lot of money. Oh, wait, then let me do this exercise. Yeah. So they go there and they go and they get and then they put one thing down, they take the other. And as they go to that exercise of developing their desire, they realize maybe they don't want this, they don't want this, they don't want this. So as they get out of sight with one thing or two things, you don't want to destroy the desire of an individual. Don't. Because what makes the uniqueness of a human being is only one thing, your desire. Now, in the endless, it was no chisaron. After the endless, there is chisaron. So the only difference between the chisaron mean lack. The only difference between the endless to here is here we experiencing lack. In the endless, we didn't experience lack. Lack, not with my accent, might sound like good luck. I mean, lack is there's something missing, okay? I don't know, I shouldn't speak. I have to admit my lack, too. It's my English with my accent, you know, can be a problem. So it's very important to get the idea of tzimtzum. So the tzimtzum is giving a room for you to improve yourself. You cannot improve yourself in a perfect life. You can only improve your life when things are going wrong. So when things are going wrong in your life, relationship, money, business, health, God forbid, that's the time. That's your show time. Show time now. Because that's the Tzimtzum, that's being the light basically there, but there is a bubble around you of darkness. Now, only in a dark place you can turn on the light. You cannot turn on the light when there is light in the room, right? If I use a candle in the desert of Sahara, it's a waste. There's no candle in the middle of noon in the desert in Morocco has no value. The only time that the candle has a value is in a dark room. Tzimtzum mean contraction, tzimtzem, okay? Tzimtzem, that's why we eat matzah in Passover, from the word tzimtzum. Matzah, you know matzah, that's the flat bread, you know? And the matzot has to come from the word tzimtzum, restriction or contraction, if you want. So eating that bread, it means that it's restricting or it's contracting his ego. And it's called the poor man bread, lechem oni, poor man bread. But within that bread, you can actually recreating yourself. That's why doing Passover is the best time to recreate yourself. Most people don't know it. They look at it as a Jewish event. But doing that 7 days, whatever you decide to become, you become. Those of you who know me, Passover, as it come in, my face change, I've become very serious about it because I know that this is the how I design my life. Without that 7 days, done. Whatever I do at that time, whatever I think, whatever I say, my master, which I used to sit across from the table from him, so when he teach me how to basically do the Passover to the details. And in the beginning I was happy to sit there, but then I get scared to sit there because I said, he took that big piece of maror is a bitter herb, roots, and eat, and he told me, whatever I do, you do. I said, really? Well, I'm a new student, I'm a new teacher. I'm talking about 29 years ago. So he gave me, I'm taking, and the entire Passover, the entire time, he wouldn't talk. He wouldn't talk the whole time. And he explained to me, because it's called Passover, Pesach. Pesach, the mouth that talk. So don't talk. So put it all in your mind. Whatever you do in Passover, design your entire life. And I hope all of you will do it right this year. Anyway, the Tzimtzum, meaning contraction, meaning there is no room for creation. There is only room for creation when there is no light. When I refer to the word light, light means the entire fulfillment of the Creator, the Divine, if you wish. So please make sure you understand that there is only place for creation wherever there is dark. So wherever you have dark moment in your life, that's the only place you can create. You cannot create when things are good. When things are good, you don't know if it's coming from the Divine or not. When things are bad, it definitely comes from the Divine. So I always tell it to people. People think, I've been punished. No, you've been rewarded with a dark moment so you can create something with your life. So always remember that. You go through a tough time. Within the tough time, that's exactly the time you can create something. How can you create something if there is everything perfect? Right? If you see all the invention, all the thing that was created in life, physical life, was in a time when things went wrong. Okay? So, going back to Detroit, snowstorm, cars covered with snow, the cars all look the same. Mercedes, Ford, everything looked the same. When the snow melt, now you see the difference between the car. So the only way you can see differences is when there is lack, when there is something missing. Then you see the difference. But if there is fulfillment, it's all fulfilled with snow or with water or with light or with everything. Everything is the same. If I take 4 cups made from ice and it will not melt, just for the story, 4 sizes of cup, I throw them to the ocean. They all fulfill with the water of the ocean. Let's say they don't melt. They will look the same at that moment. When they will look different? When I empty the water from them. Now you're going to see the different one. It's big, one is medium, one. Is that clear? Is that clear? That example is a very important example. So we only look different when we are empty. We will never look different when we are fulfilled. Now, as I can read your mind, I see there's 3 people who want to ask a question, please. Come on, who would like to ask? To make it clear, who doesn't know even what to ask? It's also a question. Yes, please.
I guess I still can't wrap my head around it. I still don't understand how when there's, you can only see the differences when there's a lack.
What?
I still don't understand how you can only see the differences when there's a lack.
Oh, if I fulfill everything, if I take 4 cups and I fulfill them with water, whatever it is, a small cup or big cup, it's 100% fulfilled. It doesn't matter, it's all fulfilled. When I empty it, now I know how what's the size of the cup. You don't know the size of the cup when it's fulfilled. You can measure it, because we can only measure something which is not there. We cannot measure something which is fulfilled. So it's a deep concept, if you can think about it, please. We don't experience in fulfillment. We're experiencing lack, and then we try to fulfill it. But the truth of the matter is, that's deep also, fulfillment came before desire, before the lack. First, there is fulfillment, and then we need to create desire for it. And it confused many people. People think, oh, first I need to want it, and then God's going to create it for me. No, no, God created the fulfillment, and that's why you need to desire it. So God created your soulmate, and that's why you need to desire it. God created the love that you need, and that's why you need to desire it. Who is asking for health? A sick person. Is the health there? Yes. Once they desire it, when they desire it the most, when they're sick. Or some people give up. I meet two types of people when I go to hospital with my job, to meet many, many people. Some people, there's a moment they give up. What does to give up mean? They no longer have desire. It's very difficult. Because to have a strong drive to want, that's what makes you alive. Healthy baby born with a closed fist. If you put the finger, he will not let you go. If you look at people that die, we're opening their hand before we bury them. That means they no longer have a desire. Desire is what defines you. So when you fulfill yourself, be careful. Once, let's say you have a project to work $1.7 million this month. You have a project, and you're all going to make it, right? So you make $1.7 million, what do you do after? Don't rest. A day after you make the 1.7, come up with another project. Then take vacation. Don't do a lot of people do the mistake. They have a project, they accomplish, they go to Cancun. No, no, no. Work one more week after you accomplish it, so you build the next desire, and then go to Cancun. Otherwise, that 1.7 thing will not have a desire, so it will have to fall apart. Resting means the desire die. Desire die, whatever you have has to go away. Also relationship. Many people get married, and the marriage don't, it's not the same like the first day. It's dead. Why? They don't desire each other like the first day they met. So it's falling apart. Once it's falling apart, there is no desire. If there is no desire, it has to go away. Okay? People like me, for example, who buy that keychain for LA Fitness. I don't know how many of you have keychain. I have keychain. So you get the keychain. Why I said keychain? Because you go one time, you get three sessions with somebody, and then you go home and said, wow, I have the keychain for 1 year, and then you register again. They know it. By the way, I asked them if somebody else do what I do. And the idea is we get fulfilled just by the idea that we register for a gym. We think that will make us lose weight or look better. But we actually have to do it. Okay, he has more questions before I move on. Yes.
So we experience lack because once we were fulfilled, and then, so now we have to decide to go back and get this fulfillment.
Beautiful, but the idea is we had everything in the endless. Everything was perfect in the endless. And when the Tzimtzum took a place, which means contraction, we get a chance to create what I have in my life, not to receive what I have in my life. Who will be more happy? Bless you. Who will be more happy? A person who creates what they have, or a person who receives what they want?
The first one.
I think when you create what you have in life, you're proud of yourself. You feel good. When you receive what you want to receive in your life, it will become difficult. What we call Nahima Dechsifa in Arabic, or bread of shame. Nahima means in Arabic, bread. Dechsifa means embarrassment. It's a word in Aramaic. Okay? So, it's the only way we can be happy is if we earn things that we have. Now, it's very difficult to earn relationship after, I don't know, 10 years. How do you earn it? You wake up in the morning, same face, same nose, same lips, and I saw you, you saw me, we know each other for. What are you going to do? Drink a glass of wine and forget about your problem and then fall in love again? How do you do it? It's a magic. It's a magic that you can keep the flame, that desire. That's a magic. So the thing is, what I tell couples, find something to do together. Find something to increase. Same with your business. Nobody should go into a place of fulfillment, but it doesn't mean you should, desire should not be to be fulfilled. Should fulfill and next project. I tell you a story. I used to go sell door to doors. So when you go sell door to doors, your pocket become your best friend because you put the money here, you put the money here. I don't know if you ever did it. I'm talking about the old days. And you put cards in one area, you put money, cash here, check here, and you go and sell and sell and sell. And I had a group of people that working with me, and I told them that we work in different country, and our office was in New York. So I told them what we need to do. By Wednesday night, we're sending every money away to Citibank, to New York. And then Thursday, we start fresh. Now usually, Shabbat, you need to eat, you need money to eat, you need to survive. So that keep the desire again on Thursday morning. Oh, we went strong. And I said, because we work on Sunday too. So we work Sunday till Wednesday. Wednesday, I would send the money. I said, everybody empty your pocket. Okay, we put it in UPS, boom, Citibank New York. And then Thursday, we start fresh. Why? Because now you're going on empty. Now, desire, you need to eat. That's a strong desire. And then miracles start happening. So miracle happening to you if you don't kill the desire. Don't ever kill your desire. And always get excited for people who have more desire. When you meet selfish people, the only reason you meet them is for them to teach you how to want more. I'm impressed. When I meet people who have more desire than me, I look at them like, wow, how do I become like that person? People that we consider wicked, selfish, only think about themselves. They are being created for a reason. Because they have a desire more than just a nice guy or a righteous guy. They have a strong desire. People think righteous person is a person who doesn't want. Opposite. Righteous person who wants more than everybody, but is also able to say no. That's righteous. People who have no desire can never be considered righteous. They're good people, but they're going to born and die and nothing will happen with them. Nothing. They have no use. Good people are nice, but there's no use. But people who are born wicked and change, that's the people you got to look up to. There's the main name of in the Talmud. Rish Lakish, his name. Rish Lakish was one of the greatest Kabbalists and rabbi of all time. Rish Lakish was a gladiator, was a killer. I don't want to make all his list, not nice to speak bad about him. And one time, he saw a rabbi, and I shared this story this Tuesday. I don't know why. I guess he's come to help me. And he saw Rabbi Yochanan in the river. I think it was the Jordan River, doing a mikveh, like emerging the water to do spiritual thing. And Rabbi Yochanan has the most beautiful face. He thought it's a nice lady. So he arrived, and we arrived. The nice lady all of a sudden has a beard and look a little bit older. So he realized that's the wrong situation. And Rabbi Yochanan read his mind. He said to him, "Kochacha le'oraita, your power born for spirituality, for the Torah." And that's how he started changing. So he changed all his life. To become one of the greatest companies in the rabbi in the Talmud. If you Google him tonight, Rish Lakish, you will look at his life, you'll be like, oh my God. And you thought you did something wrong. You don't even start the dust of doing something wrong. But what was Rish Lakish special in the Talmud? That he is the strongest desire. Okay? So remember, tzimtzum, meaning that the light no longer can be found. So if I close my eyes now, that's tzimtzum. I'm contracting, I'm not allowing the light to come into my eyes right now. So I don't see the light, but the light still exists. Everything still exists. Nothing ever disappeared. Everything still exists. Nothing ever disappeared. And when we understanding it, so why there is darkness, why there is tzimtzum, why there is contraction, because within the tzimtzum, within the darkness, you can create new thing. You can create something new, if everything is perfect. There's no room for anything. So that's why Rav Asher writes, "Ela rak besibat ha-tzimtzum she-me'esa, nitchadesh od b'chinat chisaron." So it's creating a lack, creating a darkness. "V'nitava makom panui le-tikunim." So it's at place for fixing. Sometimes I see parents who give their children everything, and the children cannot add anything. So one of the things, one of my methods, you know, with children, with my kids, is always to create a problem. A scenario that has an issue, things that are not perfect, things that are missing. It's the best time for a child or for somebody to add something. If you give everything ready, they cannot add something. So don't worry when you do a mistake. The mistake that you do is actually the contraction. This is the place where somebody else can add. All right? So it's a very, very important concept, the tzimtzum. Aval bal titeh shemakom gashmi hasefer medaber. Don't think it's a physical thing. And I continue. It's a new study now. It's called Avir Rekani. Avir mean air. A-I-R. So don't, with my accent, you might think I talk about air. Okay? A-I-R. Rekani, empty air. Meaning, it's a concept that we need to study. What is Avir Rekani? Again, we study in our language. So remember that. Ena kavana al Avir Gashmi chafu shalom. Say Rav Ashlag, do not get mistaken that we are talking about physical oxygen or air like that. Ela yesh b'chinat o ruchani ha-mechuneken. There is a type of light that we call it like that. Ki hine yesh bet b'chinot. There is two aspects of light. Bechol partzuf shalem, in every partzuf, for instance, partzuf means face, but partzuf or face, it also means a complete system. A complete system. Amichulim or the chokmah the or the chasadim. One called light of wisdom and one called light of mercy. Please remember those two words. Light of wisdom, light of mercy. Or the chokmah is light of wisdom, or the chasadim is light of mercy. Let's explain what it is. Please remember that. This is the time that you have to use your brain. Shake your head if needed. Or the chokmah u b'chinat ha'atzmut של הפרצוף דהיינו בחינת החיות שלו. Light of wisdom is the essence of the light. Now when we say light, those of you who still don't understand the word light, we're not talking about light of the light bulb, we don't talk about, it's almost like electricity. It's almost like an energy that comes from the divine, from the creator. That's what we talk about light. So they gave it the name light, but it doesn't mean it's a physical light. The reason we call it light, because what makes the light unique, it's spread. It's always spread, never stop. And that's why Kabbalists don't believe in the speed of light. Why? Because the light is here all the time. If the light is here all the time, there's no speed of light. You just need a machine to turn on something that will reveal the light that is already here. But science didn't discover this part yet. Speed of light is a machine that measures the speed of light. So I cannot prove it to you in a physical way. I don't have the tools yet to prove it to you that I'm right about it. But hopefully soon to be discovery, then they will understand that the speed of light really not exist because the light is everywhere all the time. I cannot go into it right now. It's more physics. So or the chokmah is the essence of the light. Or the chasadim hu rak or malbish al or chokmah shebaparzuf. Light of chasadim or light of mercy is only, it's called malbish. Malbish means levush, means clothing. Is the clothing that clothed the light of wisdom. Example, so you will stay, you will remember that. Electricity need a wire. Copper, right? I mean, it's a copper wire that brings the electricity from one side to another. Yes, you know what I'm saying? So that copper is the clothing for something that's already there. What is already there? Electricity. Can you see the electricity? No. Can you experience the electricity? Only if you using the wire from one side to another. So the wire itself is what take the electricity from one place to another. What is the main part of the electricity? The electricity, the energy. What is revealed that light? Light of mercy or the copper wire? Is that clear? Very important that it will be clear for you. It's very important now because this is the moment that we jump to the next level. Again, I will repeat it as many times as you need, because we need all to get it as a group. The wire itself is levush, it's clothing. It's not the main thing, it's a secondary. The main thing is all the chokmah, is the electricity. So the electricity is there. But without the wire, it can't reveal that. It's just in potential. So the way it becomes from potential to actual, is with a wire. Now let's give it a name. Let's give the baby the name. or the Chokhmah, or Light of Wisdom, or the Chokhmah, Light of Wisdom. I will use those words in Hebrew also because it's very important, there's power. When you use those words in Hebrew, you're getting power. Or the Chokhmah, or Light of Wisdom, is the electricity. Or the Chassadim is the Levushim, the clothing or the wire that carry that electricity. Is that clear? It's very, very important. That you gotta be super clear, because that will carry us to the rest of the study, all the time. So whenever I tell you Light of Wisdom, you know I'm talking about the essence of the light. Yes, you with me? Move your head, I see some sign. Yes, you with me? Yeah. Don't be shy. So, essence of everything is Or Chokhmah. So it exists everywhere you're gonna look at. We, the soul, is Or Chokhmah, is Light of Wisdom. The body is Or Chassadim. So it's relative all the time. Now the body is Or Chokhmah, and the clothes, the jacket, is Or Chassadim. It's always relative. The most important thing is Light of Wisdom. The secondary, or what revealed it, is Light of Mercy. Everything that needs to be revealed, listen carefully, needs to be concealed. Would you remember that? Everything that needs to be revealed needs to be concealed. To reveal yourself to the street, you have to cover yourself with clothes, normally. Yeah? Normally, if you're not a nudist, that's what you do. Yeah? Cover yourself with clothes to reveal yourself. You want to reveal the tree, you got to cover the seed. You want to reveal the child, you got to cover the sperm. Everything that is need to be revealed, need to be concealed. The same even with consciousness. The Talmud writes, the Talmud explains, that the words that you're going to say is way more important when you don't say it. Weird, right? Mila besela, shtika silain. Meaning, a word that you want to say to someone, word sela. Sela is a measure of a gold coin in the Talmud. But if you're capable of not saying that word, you get 2 gold coins. It's shocking, right? I mean, we are communication people. Everybody going to so many courses, right? Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins, learn how to talk. No. You go study the Talmud. I don't know if you know what the Talmud is. Talmud is a section that explains the Mishnah. The Mishnah was written 2,000 years ago by Tanaim, by rabbis that were like prophets. Then the Gemara, which is Talmud, it was explanation on the Mishnah. Within the Talmud, it's an amazing work what they did. You study how to behave, you study what to do if you lost something, you study if you buy a piece of land, everything is there. All the rules in the world are actually there. And now it's available on YouTube for free. You can go study English and Hebrew as you wish. Okay? Might be some boring, so give you some 15 minutes and give you all the rules. But one of the things that you get amazed at the Talmud is the story and also the behavior. And they talk a lot about not speaking. Because once you're capable of not speaking, they say the strongest person in the room is a person who is capable of not talking. But then they write, next section they write, but if after he speak, he realized he was stupid, then you know when he was quiet, he was stupid too. It's kind of weird, right? It's very funny. And sometimes you meet people like that, that they sit at the table and they say, oh my God, we just study from the Talmud that quiet people are genius. Then they say one verse and say, oh my God, thank God they don't speak, you know? Better they don't speak than they speak. So, the wisdom of a human being, nikar mishtikato. The wise man, you know by them not talking that much. Alright? It's almost like you take a box, a wooden box, and if you put one stone, it makes a lot of noise. If you put many stones within the wood box, it doesn't have a lot of noise. Because there's fulfillment, there's so much good things there. Because people are empty, they make a lot of noise. You know, nothing going on. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? What's about? What did I get from it? You know, it's almost like something. You go to a movie and you want to be happy. You go to comedy. You go out there. You are very happy. And you're laughing hysterical. 10 minutes after, you go back to your thing. Either you're depressed or sad. Or, okay, but I watched a movie 10 minutes ago. What happened? It was nice, and that's it. Fulfillment gotta come from within. You don't come from outside. So all the Chokhmah, all the Chassadim. And that's what he write. אור דחסדים הוא רק אור מלביש על אור החוכמה שבפרצוף, היות ואור החוכמה אינו יכול להתלבש בפרצוף, אם לא יתלבש תחילה באור דחסדים. The light of wisdom cannot be revealed. What is the light of wisdom? It's a direct light that comes from God, from the Creator, from the Divine, from the Atzmuto, from the Essence, from the Endless. The original light, or the light that coming from the Creator, is Or the Chokmah. Or the Chassadim also come from the Creator, but it's a light, it's a weaker kind of light, that it giving a chance for the light of wisdom to be revealed, because it's Manbish. It dresses. Everything in our universe works like that, by the way. There's the essence, and now it's going to be revealed. Sometimes you have a great idea, but you don't have somebody who could manifest it. So the person with the great idea is always the quiet one. Nobody knows about it. Remember that. That's called Or de Chokhmah, the light of wisdom. The one who revealed it are always less. In our world, we think it's the opposite, but it's not. The one who come up with the idea is the quiet. The one who revealed it is the noisy one. The noisy one is always less than the quiet one. Would you understand that? Because the noisy one is the chassadim, is the one who revealed it, is less. אמנם נעיתים שהפרצופים הם בבעת הקטנות, אין בהם אלא אור החסדים בלבד, ודדע שאור החסדים זהו מכונה בשם אוויר או רוח. Now we're learning language. Remember, we start by saying empty air. And I said there is a code. Yes, are you with me or I lost you? I need to see some eyes. That's why I'm wearing glasses to make sure that I'm not losing any soldier here. All right? So, אוויר רקני, empty air, is a code. Remember, it's a code for Or de Chassadim, light of mercy. You need to register now in your brain. You don't need to understand, just register as a language. Light of mercy means, in the code of Rabbi Isaac Luria, in the code of the Zohar 2,000 years ago, in the code of 4,000 years ago, the book of Abraham, they have a code. That's how they talk to each other. Avir Rekani, refer, or empty air, refer to light of
wisdom.
Mercy, very good. Not all of you say too bad. I'm really worried I didn't do a good job here. I thought it's been injected well. Again, let's try again. So, avir, rekali, or empty air, refer to what type? Light of wisdom or light of mercy?
Mercy.
I'm getting excited now. Okay, so we talk about light of mercy. So the light of mercy, why we mention it here? It said because in the endless, it was no light of mercy. Everything in the endless was fulfilled. So it was no need for something to reveal it. It's a concept, yeah. וביותו בפני עצמו בלי אור חכמה הוא מכונה בשם אוויר ריקני. So if it's in the endless, let's say, and it doesn't have, if I take the copper, the wire, the electric wire that has no electricity in it, that's considered אוויר ריקני. That's considered empty air, because it's empty. But it's revealed nothing. If you look at your jacket and your closet, it's empty from body. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Those of you, God forbid, who lost somebody in your life, one of the hardest things is to find their shirt, to find their jacket. It's very sad. But what we look at their clothes. Their clothes is the Or de Chassadim, is the light of mercy, but they're no longer there. So we are washing their clothes without the Or de Chokhmah. The main part of those clothes, what it reminds us, is the essence we call Or de Chokhmah, we call light of wisdom, which is there. So when we talk about Avir Rekani, Or de Chassadim, we are talking about that in the endless it was not exist. הוא מכונה בשם אוויר ריקני, כלומר שהוא ריקן מאור החוכמה, ומצפה כדי שאור החוכמה יתפשט בתוכו וימלאנו. משמיענו הרב, שטרם שנבראו העולמות, דהיינו באין סוף, הוא לא הייתה בחינת אוויר ריקני. In the endless it was not such a thing as empty air. Everything was fulfilled. So try to imagine a place like the endless, that everything is perfect, everything is fulfilled, everything is not missing anything. You cannot add something, because it's perfect. You cannot add something. It's all perfect. So the concept of avir rekani, empty air, so when Rabbi Isaac Luria say it was no empty air there in the endless, he's trying to tell us that it was not such a thing, just all the chassadim, light of mercy without light of wisdom. Okay, we just study a language called light of wisdom and light of mercy. So if it's hard on your brain, you're feeling pressure, it's very normal. Okay, so don't be upset, because to grow spiritually, we need to feel the pressure also here, not just with your body or running on a treadmill or doing yoga. You gotta do more. That is on the brain now, not just intellectually. It's a spiritual thing you're going through right now, this second. You're going through it right now, because you are going through a change. Now, it seems like, why do I need to understand that? Because your soul, after it leaves this body, and I hope you live forever and ever, but sometimes there is a point of departure. And when you go into the upper world is set up exactly like that. So you will not get confused on your path. It's almost like buying a navigation system for your soul. That's what actually you're doing. So when you dream, also when you go to sleep, your soul knows better how to go and where to go. That's why it's very important to study. It's for the soul, it's not for the body. Your body will not feel better after that. The opposite, your body will get like either tired. I used to fall asleep all the time when my master teach me. Fall asleep, cannot listen. Embarrassing. I used to stand, pinch myself. Can you imagine? Hundreds of hours with my master, instead of listening, I bought some cream, like you, and I do the cream. Whatever it takes, and some of this video will be the, I know they're building them, the new one. And I found a way to do it. You know what I become? I become the cameraman. I become the cameraman. I said, I love this new job. So I took the video of the Rav, and that become the best job, because you can't fall asleep. Because we used to have a video, it's not VHS, it's a bigger one. I don't remember the professional one. Don't know the name for it. And you have to set up the light, and you have to set up camera, and you have to make sure the battery changes the microphone. So I become the camera person. That's the way I study everything. I said, wow, this is the best way. And what I'm trying to tell you by that, so if your brain experiences something right now, don't be upset, it's a necessity. It's needed for that. So, just more to push you a little bit harder, okay? To push you a little bit harder. And then we'll let you ask some questions. Vav. V'chalal ela haya hakol. So, we need to explain the word halal. Halal, not halal meat, because if you're Muslim, we don't talk about halal meat. Halal comes from the word halul. Halul means, how we say halul in English? Empty.
Halo.
Not aloe like aloe. Hollow. Okay, so there is a hole. So it was no halal. It was no empty space. My teacher used to call it halal empty space. It was no empty space in the endless. So, but we still need to explain what it means. So Rav Ashlag. כדי להסביר המילה הזאת צריך שתדע מקודם מהי מהותו של כלי רוחני. Before we explain what is halal or what is empty space, hello, okay? We need to explain what is a spiritual kli. Kli mean vehicle, kli also mean vessel, kli mean container. We need to explain what is a spiritual container or what is a spiritual vessel. Ve'u, ki biyot ha-ne'etzal, ne'etzal mean emanated. Does everybody understand the word emanated, ne'etzal? There is emanator and emanated, emanator. Is the divine, is the creator, and emanated is what's been created by the emanator. Ma'atzil ve'ne'etzal min. Ve'u ki biyot ha-ne'etzal mekabel et shefach hayuto min ha-ma'atzil. The emanated that receives the life of the emanator. Hine be'echav she'esh lo ratzon v'ishtokekut lekabel et shifo ze mimeno yitbarach. So beautiful. When I get too excited, I know I lose some students, so she'll get too excited. כי ביות הנאצל מקבל את שפח חיותו מן המעצים, הנה בכך שיש לו רצון ושקרות לקבל את שפו זה ממנו דברך. Something that sounds so simple but so important. Whenever the emanated, receiving all the goodness from the emanator, for sure it means that he has desire, the emanated have a desire for what the emanator wants to give. Yes, it's, you can swallow, you can chew it and then you can swallow. Yes, slowly, slowly, okay, it's very important. והשתוקקות לקבל שפוז ממנו את ברך ודדה אשר מידת הרצון בהשתוקקות הזאת היא כללות כל החומר שבנאצל. The amount of desire, the amount of השתוקקות, השתוקקות is like lust. The lust that the vessel has, the spiritual vessel has, and the desire that the spiritual vessel has, this is what defines that vessel. So if you want to define who you are, when I ask you who are you, I want to know your desire, and I want to know how much you want it. How much you really want what you want and what is that you want. You want to define people, you only define them with what they want and how much they really want it. So when people say, who are you? There's only who are you one thing. What you want, how much you really want it. That's it. The rest is not important. So from now on, when you want to define who you are, make a list of your desire. And make a list of how big is your level of desire. That's what defines you. So when we are now looking at the universe, I want you to open your eyes to look at the universe in a very different way. You look at trees. You look at dogs. You look at birds. You look at humans. You look at cars. You're looking at the amount of desire. The reason we look different because we desire different things. And the amount of what we want is different. So there is two things that define us. We look different because of that, by the way. This is called panim. Panim means face in Hebrew. Panim comes with plimi. Plimi means internal. So whenever people look different, is because the plimiut, the internal look different. So when you walk around, you look at a tree. That tree looks like that because it has a certain amount of desire and a certain amount of lust. So how much you really want, and what is that you want? So what did the tree want? Water, little sunshine, all this and that. What does the dog want? Dog want a little social, this, that, playing with this, playing that, right? What does the stone want? Existing. The less amount of desire, existing. What does the human want? Well, that's endless amount of desire. When do you know when humans start to go down? When the amount of desire starts to go down. So don't give up your dream. Don't give up your dream. Fight for your dream. It's better to get disappointed getting what you want than settle down for things you don't want. That's a nice verse. I should put it on Facebook. It came good. It came good.
That's
a very good one.
It's a very good one.
It's better to, what did I say? It's not good. It's better to get disappointed on the way to get what you want than getting settled down with things that you don't want. Wow, love it. Love it. Love it.
So true.
Wow. Yeah.
I have a question about desire.
Yeah, please ask.
Okay.
Please ask.
I know that in the Indian, let's see, you know, in the Hindu and yoga and all these things, right?
Yes.
There are a lot of them, like, they always talk about, like, minimizing, and let's say if you go to India and all these places, now there's a lot of spirituality there. But there, a lot of it is about being so simple and almost like stripping yourself of almost of your desire, of anything that's materialistic that you want, in order to really stay and connect.
Yeah.
And I know there's also some similarity in the Judaism and
There is. The difference.
And so how do they get to the spirituality in that way when we're talking about getting it in a very different
way? You study the book, I think it's called Yogananda or something like that. I'm not allowed to say it.
Yogananda.
It's a spiritual yoga. It's a spiritual understanding of yoga. If you study that, there is a conversation between Yogananda, the all the other wise people. And it's a book that affected my life a lot. I read many books, and this book... you know, very deep, amazing. I have it in Hebrew, by the way. And one of the conversations they talk about is desire. They actually talk about the concept of desire. And once you lose your desire, there is no longer existing of whatever you do. Because if I don't want it, and I'm able to let it go, the letting go part has no value.
Because you don't want it anyway.
But the true essence, I don't know if you ever work, I work in different jobs because I wasn't that good at my job, so I keep changing. Well, I don't know the name for that job when you take two metals and you put them together.
Welding.
What do you
know?
Welding.
So when you take welding, I don't know if you ever tried to do it, it's kind of amazing. You take that stick that you use electricity, and if you get too close, it will not work. If you get too far, it will not work. You have to touch it, it's a spark, and then you continue to do it. I'm not suggesting you should do it, but I'm saying just you learn from that a lot about life. So the method of Hindu is to strip yourself from money, strip yourself from desire, strip yourself from different things. I think it was a little bit of misunderstanding, and people get lost. Because when you strip yourself from any desire, you no longer do the job you came here to do. You came here to keep your desire going, but able to say no to your desire, which is the hardest thing. You need to want 100 and get zero. We're gonna get into it eventually, but that's a human being who's alive. Tzaddik, righteous person mean I want everything and I'm able to say no to all of it. So that's righteous. Most people think righteous is the one with the tear pants and no money, sleeping in the street. No, because those people give up on life, they have no desire. The tzaddik, the righteous, has the strongest desire for everything. Money, fame, everything, but able to say no to it. And that's a very important concept. I hope it's clear. Yes.
Why do you have to have desire for like human things and like worldly things? Why couldn't the desire just be to fulfill your purpose?
Which is?
Whatever your role is on this earth.
Like, to have things?
No, what if it was just to make an impact in the world?
And you okay, really put, that's good. Yeah, but
what if that's your sole desire and then like through the yoga and the Buddhist,
good, just good. Anything that fulfills your ego is a good thing. To make impact in the world is fulfill the ego, which is wonderful. To wear a Gucci watch, fulfill your ego, good. It doesn't matter. You know, the people who do good in the world need war. People who need to make peace need people to make war. So the one who make peace always looking for war, if you think about it. So they look nice, but actually without war, they have no value. What are you gonna do with them? They say, no, we need to bring peace and love with the bloodshed. No war. No guns, no nothing. What are they going to do with themselves? Sell oranges? What are they going to do? I said, so you need to start to understand that the ego trip of a human being is ego driven. Just healthy. If your job is to bring impact to the world, it's great. If you want to make the most beautiful body in the world, great. Whatever it is. Now, are you capable to say no to yourself? That's when the test begins. That's when the test begins. That's hard. That's hard. Remember, I have children who become teenagers. So, you know, there is a moment, a teenager, that you can break them or they break you. It's a very, I don't know, I cannot explain to you. It's a very serious situation. It looked funny, but it's not funny for me. Mm-hmm. So I remember that my son, I said to him, what do you think? You're so strong. I want to see you going to that mountain, this. And he go ahead and dress. And he really tried to break my words by saying, I'm not afraid of nothing, I can do it. And he took my words seriously, so he want to break my words. So now I went a little bit too far with my desire with him. So now what do you do? You know, you gotta keep the balance. So the point is, I gotta want everything, but at the same time have the capability of saying no to myself. And that's what the work of a human being really start in the moment that you say no to the thing you want. Even food, if you look at Judaism, we bless over food. Celery, you say adama. Grapes, you say etz. Everything is with blessing. How many blessings? Every time you eat, you've got to do a blessing.
So that now controls.
What is that? What is that? Because you want to say to yourself, I want to eat. Eating is animal, eat too. So why are you doing the blessing? To say to yourself, I don't want it. The first step to say, I don't want it. But you know what? God want to give it to me. Okay, let me have the fruit. Okay, I will have it. Let me do a favor to God. So everything is I'm receiving it to give pleasure to the one who gave it to me. You understand? It's a very tough concept. So whatever, you drink the tea, the coffee, you eat outside, most of the time we come hungry, we want to eat. We want to attack the steak. But those of you who study reincarnation, within the steak can be a reincarnation of a human being. It says that if a killer killed, he will reincarnate into stone. So Rabbi Isaac Luria, soon I'm going to open a reincarnation course because many people send me on Facebook that they want me to teach the deep side of reincarnation. So I will explain that within that stone there is a killer now. Can you imagine? We never know what stone has a killer in it. Diamond is a stone too, by the way. A stone that you can kill for, right? So the cow will go ahead and eat vegetables, but there's reincarnation too. Then within the vegetable, there's a piece of that stone. Now the cow come on your table. Steak. Now the only reason that steak come to your table, that you take that soul that been reincarnated into that steak to bring it back to human. So you do a blessing. That's the reason for the blessing. Jewish people took it to a little bit religious way. The Vatican fanatic bless the food, bless the food. So I talked to somebody this week, and I saw him almost attacking his son about do a blessing. I said, don't do it. Like, what's the purpose? What's the purpose? If you do a blessing, you need to know with the consciousness. There's a soul being reincarnated in that state, and I want to give a path for that soul to go to become a human again. Everything, when you study everything, it looks so different. Everything looks different. Life is so many opportunities around you. And you can make things for others more than just giving charity, more just giving a hug or a good word. You can just, when you meditation, you can change people's life. Change people's life. With one blessing, you can change people's life. So I will let you ask a question in a second. But, so you say, what made the definition of a spiritual vessel is the amount of desire, וישתוקקות, and how much you want. באופן שכל מה שיש בנצל זולת זה החומר, whatever exists within the emanated, beside the desire, כבר אינו מיוחס לבחינת החומר שלו. Every fulfillment you have in your life is not you. Every fulfillment is not you. The only thing which is you is your desire. So when your desire gets fulfilled, that's when the universe fulfills your need. So if you're asking for $7.1 million and you receive that, now the $7.1 million is no longer you. It's a gift that fulfilling the desire that you have within you. I'm using numbers of money so you can relate to numbers, because I cannot say you have 7.1 million point of love. So you want to be loved, 7.1 million. So once that gets fulfilled, that love you receive is not you. It is the fulfillment that comes from the divine. So what we call emanator, the fulfillment. What we call emanated, the desire for that fulfillment. So who are we? Listen carefully. Who are we? We build from both. And that's why it's difficult. Because we build from desire, but we also build from fulfillment. Part of you is part of the Creator. Your soul is not you. Your soul was given to you. Not to you, to me too, to all of us. The soul is part of the Creator, is that part of the emanator. The body is the what's supposed to be the desire. What happened to the body? The body went crazy, went stupid. The body took us out of control. Now the body wants things because the body wants. The only reason the body needs to want thing is because the soul wants to give it to it. So I want to give you a gold coin. I will build within you a desire for that gold coin. What went wrong? That the body start wanting gold coin, not because the soul want to give it, because he want it. So that's what the virus of life, the spiritual virus of life took a place. The desire itself is healthy, but the desire after that is not healthy because it doesn't come. Because I want to give you, I want to make sure it's clear. If I want to give you a glass of water and you have desire for that glass of water because I want to give it to you, that's a normal creation. What went wrong after that? You want something not because I want to give it. You want it because you want it. That not exist in the creation. That called the virus that took a place. I want to repeat it again. I gave a lecture on it to a religious Jewish community. And because they ask a tough question, say, Eliyahu, where is the bad things come from? If you tell me God is only good, divine is only good, how bad things exist? So I have to explain to them how it's been, you know, developed to become like that. All right? So again, there is two types of desire. There is you want because I want to give you, and there is you want because you want. You want because you want is the virus. So whenever you want to eat the steak, and you do the blessing over the steak, the reason you do the blessing is because you want to make sure. Do I want to eat it because I want it, or I want to eat it because it was given it to me? Please remember, I want to love my partner because I need them. I want to love them because that was a gift that the light was giving it to me. I'm driving the car that I like because I want it. I'm driving the car because the universe was giving it to me. So you need to start to experience life as it's all been given to you. How much can you want? Endlessly.